From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this entire hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment. And next hour, get ready for this, because I am retired Army Major Paul Smith, and how remote viewing has been used against enemy targets. Brand new book out called Reading the Enemy's Mind. I'm looking forward to talking with Major Paul Smith about that. Here's some of the stories of the day. First of all, brace yourself on this one. Well, Canada finds new mad cow case. Canada says it has now found its second case of mad cow disease in 10 days, raising new questions as to whether Washington would scrap plans to end a crippling ban on imports of live Canadian cattle. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency said the diseased beef cow, born just after Canada tightened feed restrictions in 1997, was not linked to another instance of mad cow disease, which was announced on January 2nd. The new case is Canada's third homegrown instance of BSE. Canadian farmers estimate sanctions by the United States over all this and other export markets may have cost them close to $4 billion. That's U.S. $4 billion. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says it would send a technical team to Canada to assess the new cases before deciding whether to reopen its borders to imports of young live cattle on March 7th as planned. That was a plan to do that. Now we'll have to see if this affects any of it. If you have young children and you let them listen or talk on cell phones, listen to the story. In Britain, children under the age of 8 should not use mobile phones. Parents were advised right after an authoritative report linked heavy use to ear and brain tumors and concluded that the risks had been underestimated by most scientists. Professor Sir William Stewart is the chairman of the National Radiological Protection Board. He says the evidence of potentially harmful effects had become more persuasive over the past 5 years. The news prompted calls for phones to carry health warnings and panic in parts of the industry. One British manufacturer immediately suspended a model aimed at 4 to 8-year-olds. Can you believe that? Now, on Thursday, our guest on Coast to Coast will be William Thomas. Now, William Thomas, most noted for his work on chemtrails and contrails, but he's done a lot of research about cell phone usage. We'll be talking to him about that and also this breaking story. In California, La Conchita, rescuers listening with special devices sensitive enough to pick up a whimper or even a faint tapping as they continue to search now for victims feared buried in a mudslide that sent a thunderous cascade of trees and dirt into this seaside hamlet. At least 4 people now killed, 14 injured, most of them pulled from the mud, but as many as 20 others were unaccounted for. Neighbors and relatives of the missing watched in agony as rescuers hauled away dirt bucket by bucket and looked for signs of life. Heavy rains, I mean very heavy rains, over the last several days, they finally stopped today, caused the mudslides. 2 giant slabs of ice are about to hit each other in Antarctica. I had this story on late last night, possibly with spectacular results, according to some experts at NASA. Now this is a 160-kilometer-long iceberg. It's headed on a collision course with a floating glacier in the sea near the U.S. McMurdo Research Station. The B-15A iceberg, as it's called, should collide with the other glacier no later than January 15th, even though it seems to be slowing now. The NASA scientists are studying the iceberg's progress by monitoring satellite images of the region. Exactly what will happen, they really don't know, but they do say when 2 giant ice giants hit each other, the impact will probably dent their bumpers, so no need for us to panic over here. The U.S. nuclear submarine that ran aground Saturday in the South Pacific hit so incredibly hard that about 60 of its 137 crew members were injured, and the sailor who died was thrown 20 feet by the impact. Now, this is according to internal Navy email messages sent by a top admiral, Matt Drudge, reporting that story tonight from the New York Times, drudgereport.com. The messages said that the submarine's hull was severely damaged after the head-on crash into what Navy officials believe was an undersea mountain that was not on the navigation charts. One message said that the submarine, it's called the San Francisco, was traveling at high speed, about 40 kilometers an hour, and that the impact practically stopped it in its tracks and caused flooding in parts of the bow. The messages were apparently written by Rear Admiral Paul Sullivan, the commander of submarines in the Pacific, and they paint a more dire picture of the accident, which occurred 360 miles southeast of Guam. The email indicated that the Navy had tried to evacuate the fatally injured man after he had hit his head on a metal pump, which knocked him unconscious. NASA's Deep Impact mission, which will crash a projectile into Comet Tempel 1, is ready to launch from Cape Canaveral on Wednesday. It will arrive at Tempel 1 6 months later and eject a projectile into its path to blast a deep hole into its nucleus and reveal what lies beneath. The projectile will collide with the comet on July 4th of this year, 24 hours after its release, traveling at 23,000 miles an hour. It could punch a crater in the comet big enough to swallow Rome's Colosseum, believe it or not. In Jackson, Tennessee, man opened fire at a State Transportation Highway Department maintenance garage, killing his wife and two others, wounding two others. 40-year-old David Jordan arrested a short time later, not far from the garage, after officers followed him. Two officers captured him and found a semi-automatic rifle, a 12-gauge shotgun, two pistols in his truck. No motive for the shooting. As you know, we're following another story of a murdered microbiologist, this one happening in Columbia, Missouri, a retired microbiologist. And I get this very interesting email in from someone who knew him. I'm not going to give you his name. It's confidential. I may need to use him as a further source in this story. But he goes on to say that the murdered microbiologist who was stabbed and then he was dumped in his trunk of his burning car was doing some original work on cell chemistry and also the human immune system. It has long been theorized by us here on Coast to Coast that something very sinister is happening to microbiologists around the country who are experts in disease, immune system functions. And this is another case. Now, this doctor, by the way, his name was Jung Im, and again, he was murdered several days ago. President Bush has nominated Federal Appeals Court Judge Michael Chertoff to replace Tom Ridge as the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Bush made the announcement from the Roosevelt Room of the White House. The 51-year-old Chertoff sits on the 3rd U.S. Court of Appeals, which handles appeals from New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and the Virgin Islands. Before becoming a judge, though, he was the Assistant Attorney General in the Department of Justice's Criminal Division for a couple of years, starting in 2001. He argued the government's case against terror suspect Zacharias Musari's request to access other al-Qaeda suspects in U.S. custody. Allowing such access, Chertoff said, would create immediate and irreparable harm to the U.S. security. Bush called him a good leader in the war against terror. Guerrillas killed 20 people in attacks in Iraq, and Prime Minister Alawi has acknowledged that he's calling that pockets of the country would be too unsafe now for a voting in the January 3rd, 30th elections. He is not calling off the elections, though. Suicide car bomber killed 7 policemen in Saddam Hussein's old hometown of Tikrit. And a preacher in Florida, Presbyterian minister, collapsed and died in mid-sentence of a sermon after saying, "And when I go to heaven." And then he died. 69 years old, fell over from the podium. The people in the parish went running up to him, but he was dead right there. You know, last night our guest was Glynis McCants. As we were talking about numbers, I want to read an email to you because Glynis was telling us about putting the number 8, just the number 8, in your wallet or your purse, keeping it with you. Listen to this one, because it's supposed to generate money and income. I, George, listened to the entire interview with Glynis McCants, and I decided to follow her suggestion to place a number 8 in my wallet. In the morning, on my way out, I placed a playing card, 8 of spades, in my wallet. Then at work, I hand-drew a simple 8 on a piece of paper and put it on the top of the wall opposite the entrance to my cubicle. Well, guess what? Out of nowhere, after lunch, we receive an email from the corporation. The company had just reported its quarterly earnings. It had done better than expected. As a gift, every employee will receive a $1,000 gift bonus, apart from other profit sharing. How about that? I can't wait until tomorrow. That's what Teresa writes. Here are the phone numbers for open lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. The wild card line, 818-501-4109. Special line open this hour only. I want to get your take on these murdered and dying microbiologists. What do you think is going on? 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And Joe sends me an email from Ohio. He says, guess what? 111 hit on the Ohio pick 3 today. I can't believe this stuff. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, hello, Mr. Norrie.
Hello, sir, to you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Orlando, Florida, listening to you on 540 WFLF.
Absolutely, and welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I have a story for you, sir.
Okay, I'm ready.
My mother has been dealing with a vaginal infection for, like, the past 9 months.
Okay.
And she has to make recent visits to the doctor every month. And they do recent checkups on her. But last month, she lays one on me when she gets home. I see her come home with a huge smile on her face. And I'm like, Mom, what's so funny? And she says, well, the doctor just told me that my right ovary is gone.
Gone?
Gone. And I'm like, what do you mean? And you've never had the surgery, you know, you never had a surgery to remove your right ovary. And she's like, I know, that's the weird part about it. And I'm like, this is impossible. And she shows me the medical report and everything. I'm like, what is going on?
Now, how many children, by the way, in the family?
There's two of us.
Okay.
And we sit down and we start talking about it. I'm like, this is unbelievable. How did this happen? And she looks at me about 15 minutes later when we're talking about it, and she's like, oh my God, 2 weeks ago, I had a dream that a gray came to me, an alien, and said the word operation to me 3 times. And she responded, no, 3 times. And that's when she woke up. And this was 2 weeks prior to her doctor visit.
What a strange story.
Yeah, so... And we're big believers in the whole UFO thing and abductions or whatever. So our conclusion was she was probably abducted.
She might have been, especially the doctor must have been baffled.
Oh, the doctor was, she told me that he came back into the room and his jaw was dropped and she got all nervous because she had thought, you know, she had cancer or something. And she said, doctor, what's wrong? I said, well, your right ovary is gone. I don't know what happened to it.
Obviously there was no way for him to determine how long the ovary might have been gone or removed because he...
No, nothing like that. But, I mean, she had been visiting for 7 months now, and, you know, the doctor knew her quite well.
Now, does your mother, beyond the dream then that she had, and obviously the missing ovary, has she had recurring thoughts and dreams, nightmares about aliens?
No, my mother, though, I will say she is a very spiritual person, and she meditates, and in her meditation she does see angels, astral beings a lot. She's a big believer, and occasionally she'll see aliens, have, mind you. But nothing ever like what she explained to me. And
well, do me a favor. If you could go to our coasttocoastam.com website, and you're going to find under past guests, all that information's on the left-hand side of the homepage. Look up Bud Hopkins and email him. Tell him your mother's story. I think Bud, who does expert work in alien abductions, would be very, very interested in this case.
Okay.
Especially with you know, a doctor perhaps verifying that the ovary is missing and things like that.
All right. Thank you, George.
Definitely. That is one heck of a story. First-time caller line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Well, let's go west of the Rockies first. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah. Hi, George.
Welcome.
This is Michael. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hey, Michael. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm pretty skeptical about numerology. I do what's called rune readings, rune stones.
Sure. I've seen those.
And they do have numbers assigned to them. But because of my limited income, I thought, well, you know, what could it hurt? Make a number 8, put it up in a prominent place near where I spend most of my time. And so I did that this afternoon. Now I get direct deposit. I'm on a fixed income.
I understand.
And I was pretty much short on money. I had what I needed for, you know, till next payday, but, you know, you can always use an extra few bucks. And I made a special one, put it up, and something got me to thinking, and I went through my checkbook and found I made a mistake in there and found an extra $10 in there I didn't know I had.
And you know what? Every dollar counts.
Oh, it sure does, but 10 bucks, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody would scoff at that. So
that's great. You know, some of the greatest times, by the way, when you hang your pants up, and maybe a month or two later you decide to wear that pair,
uh-huh.
And you put your hand in your pocket and there's a $5 or $10 bill,
oh, wow.
Or something that you put in there and forgot all about.
That's a great find.
Yeah, it sure is. Well,
can I comment on something else?
Yeah,
real quick.
Sure can.
You know, I thought they had pretty much the ocean floor well mapped out.
Apparently not in this area.
Well, I kind of wonder, you know, there are signs, Lake Titicaca, for example, used to be when it was originally built upon by the ancients there in South America, was at sea level. And it rose almost overnight to, like, what, 7,000 feet?
Well, you know, I was going to say that. What are the possibilities? Who knows what happens down there in the ocean floor?
Well, it's not
that
too,
this
it's,
popped
it's,
up.
It's quite a ways from Sumatra. It's, you know, it's about 3,500, 4,000 miles.
But that's nothing in terms of what could be going on under this planet in the oceans.
Exactly. I kind of wonder if maybe after that earthquake, if that mountain rose like that.
That's a good point. Very good point.
It's a thought.
Yep.
Thank you, George.
Appreciate that, because they hit that thing. It is amazing. I'll tell you this. 9 years Navy here for me. Never went deep into the waters in a submarine. But it is amazing that sub going at 40 knots, which is a pretty good clip, did not just, you know, ground itself in there on the ocean floor into that mound that it hit, or severely damage it to the point where they couldn't raise it or something would have happened. I mean, that was a miracle. But apparently, you know, almost half of the sailors on that submarine were injured because they hit that mound so hard. And, you know, 40 knots, that's moving. You know, if you saw a boat on the surface of the ocean or a lake going 40 knots an hour, that thing is moving. So you can imagine this thing smashing into a mound or a rock or whatever the size this thing was under there. That's pretty treacherous. So I'm going to give you these numbers again, and then we're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come right back. But specifically, those of you, I'd like you to get your comments on the microbiologists who have been dying all around this planet, a story that Stephen Quayle and I have been talking about now for about 2 years. That phone number is 818-817-0021. It's 818-817-0021. If you need to email me, like so many of you do, with interesting stories, It's George at Coast2TO, coasttocoastam.com. Our website, obviously, is coasttocoastam.com. Also, you can get to it by going to George Norry and Norry.com. That'll get you there, too. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this hour and the next hour. Reading the Enemy's Mind with former Major Paul Smith on Remote Viewing.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. Code 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Valerie from San Ramon, California says, George, I put an eight in my wallet this morning by 11 o'clock. My real estate agent called. My house had offers close to my asking price. I signed the papers this afternoon. How about that? After Dark CD is available to you. It's a double CD, 2.5 hours of just great material, great bumper music, unforgettable calls to the show, some classic ghost stories for you. 2.5 hours worth of material. You can order it by going to AfterDarkCD.com. That's AfterDarkCD.com. There's a link at the CoastToCoastAM.com website. Or you can also call this toll-free number, 1-800-598-2331. That's 1-800-598-2331. Let's go to our microbiologist line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Well, hello.
Welcome. Thanks for calling.
This is my first time to call, and I'm a little nervous. But you were asking about the microbiologist?
Yes. And where might you be calling from?
Well, I'd probably rather not say.
Ah, you have some information for us.
Well, it's a friend of mine that actually was telling me about a family that is basically hiding out in the desert. He used to work for the government and was actually involved in creating the deadly diseases like anthrax and AIDS. And has said that that we, you know, the government have him create AIDS to kill off some of the people because of our food supply problem.
Now, you say is he hiding, or do they got him? Would they have him?
No. He has his family hidden in a desert area. He doesn't have electricity or anything that could, you know.
Okay, now this isn't the other microbiologist that we've talked about in the past named Dan Burrish, by any chance, is it?
Well, I don't know his name, actually. But, and he also said that, you know, we have never created any deadly disease that we didn't have a cure for. So there would be actually a cure for the AIDS virus.
Yeah, if indeed, and you know, we've heard all those stories that possibly it was concocted in a test tube somewhere, or petri dish, and who knows?
Right.
Who really knows? Hey, thanks for the call.
Sure.
Appreciate it. I mean, we've heard that. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But it would not surprise me if some of these viruses like that might have been created by us. Or they were playing around with it, and something went awry, and they got loose. It would not surprise me at all. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
George. I'm in Wichita.
Well, welcome to the program. I got a lot of friends in Wichita, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we just got hammered with that big ice storm Wednesday. It's been a pretty good time.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on hold for a while. My phone's about ready to catch on fire.
Uh-oh. Yeah, don't do that. We don't want to do that to you.
At any rate, I was going to call, and last Friday you were talking about Stephen Hawking's changing his theory about the black holes.
Well, I was not. We had a guest on.
Oh,
at
okay.
The time.
Yeah. At any rate.
Unless you're talking about my best of. Which one did we run, Dan? I was on vacation. Yeah, the John Teeter one. Maybe, but we had open lines. It's possible somebody called in on that. Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, that was one of Teeter's predictions, and I heard that Hawking changed his theory on black holes. I'm like, well, that was something I read on one of his chat boards.
That's exactly right. He did that several months ago, not too long ago.
And I was like, wow, that was. I mean, it's either a really really nice piece of fiction, or you know. Frighteningly enough, you know, hopefully the BSE thing is not, that was something else that Teeter was like saying, we're all in for a supersized surprise, you know.
And you know what? He might have been right, sadly enough.
Anyway.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. The John Teeter story, by the way, he's highlighted in the January issue of the After Dark newsletter, by the way, he's a time traveler. Those of you who don't know the name, and he's gone now. Nobody knows exactly where he went. And it is one bizarre story. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
I'm well, thanks.
Good. I hope you had a good vacation.
Yeah, I did. You know, I don't get away too much, and it was just kind of nice, a little break for me, especially right after the holidays.
Yeah, well, I said my name was Howler because I'm the one that has the dog that howls.
Oh, that's right. The dog that howls to the funny. We got to do that again some other time.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know what I did? You know what happened the day after Christmas?
What?
I was stomping the garbage down, right? We have those garbage cans that are on wheels.
Yeah.
And I had it braced up against the wall, and somehow it fell, and I was inside of it stomping the garbage down, and I landed on my left side, and I broke all my ribs.
No way!
Yeah, oh. The day after Christmas, and I mean, it was a great holiday.
When I was a kid, I was 16 years old, I just, in the summer, I was working in a factory, trying to raise a little money for school and things like that, and I, too, fell into a garbage can and almost broke a rib. And, you know, you think back and you go, how could I have done that? But it's not that difficult.
No, it's painful, too.
Yeah, it sure is. There's nothing worse than broken ribs.
One other thing I wanted to say was about that microbiologist, Yang Kim.
Yeah.
You know, I heard somebody talking about it over the weekend, and they said he was an expert down to the cellular genetic level.
He sure was.
And
in his day.
This is not a coincidence. These people are being murdered.
Something is going on, and nobody is putting the dots together. And if they are, they're not telling us because they're afraid of something.
Right. And if I was a microbiologist, I'd be heading out to some wilderness somewhere, too.
Well, let me tell you, you know, there are microbiologists now who have taken notice to this story, and they're beginning to talk amongst each other about what might be going on. They're coming up with their own theories now, and they're scared.
Good for well, yeah, I'd be scared too.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. And Coast to Coast continues in just a moment. Dale. Let's go to our wild card line to get this thing going here on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, it's an honor to talk to you, George. It really is.
Well, I've been listening
to your show for a couple years now.
Well, good. Good to have you with us. And where might you be?
I'm actually calling from Southern Ohio.
Okay.
Okay, here's my question. I really don't know what you know on this, but I just thought the other day, I've been watching so much footage, you know, of the tsunamis.
Yes.
And plus, you know, it, you know, the inauguration coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, one of the things that's worried me is what would happen if a nuclear bomb would go, like, say, terrorists or somebody put it off in the middle, like on the ocean floor, like, say, in the Pacific between Hawaii and the West Coast. Could, you know, an explosion like that cause something of that nature?
Well, it's very possible. I don't think they've got the capability to do that right now, but there has been talk what would happen, for example, the Canary Islands,
mm-hmm.
La Palma. There's a volcano there that if it goes and creates the tsunami like what happened in the Indian Ocean, it could create 600-foot waves, and some experts say go 20 to 50 miles inland on the eastern coast of the United States. Could some kind of nuclear device trigger that? That's possible, very possible indeed. And, you know, and that's a danger you have to reckon with eventually.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something you really can't protect against.
No. No.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it just hits, and then, you know, no way to stop it after it goes off.
No, but, you know, I don't think they have the capability and the technology to take it down there and even have one right now. But, you know,
well,
15, 20 years from now, yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Okay, thanks a lot, George.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate your call. Let's go to our microbiologist line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
My name's Aaron. I'm from the Cleveland, Ohio area.
Hi, Aaron.
I'm calling you because I graduated molecular biology from Vanderbilt a few years ago. And because this is Vanderbilt University down in Nashville, Tennessee, they have a great med school down there. And because of my I'm an alumnus, I get the alumnus report you know, every month or so.
Right.
And I was shocked to see that Vanderbilt was announcing in their alumnus report that they're trying to dilute some old smallpox vaccination cultures to make a whole bunch of emergency smallpox vaccine for I don't know how many people, but they're diluting this old stuff that nobody even... has tested, like, I don't know how many years. They think it's good.
I love that word, too, think.
They think it's good so far from the studies, but it just kills me that they're even testing this stuff on people. I think they said the 10 people they've tested it on have all gotten extremely ill.
Oh, my God.
And it's just, it just blows my mind. And, you know, I think it basically boils down to two different situations. I think... you know, I agree with the Alex Jones line of investigation that they're either, whoever's going to release this stuff is either going to do it for money or they're going to do it to seriously try and kill a lot of people. And
or both.
And both.
Yeah.
And that's basically the breakdown.
Or
and
both.
The reason these molecular biologists are getting hit like this, I think they're mainly they're the civilian molecular biologists who are very good at sequencing quickly
mm-hmm.
DNA or RNA. And that's the type of people you would need in an emergency situation.
Yes.
To back engineer and find out what the best method of curing some new, radically new agent showing up in the civilian population.
No, I see. I think that's exactly what might be going on now. I think, and this is a long-term plan, it's probably been going on for 2 or 3 years. I think they're very close to some kind of a biological that they want to drop down on us. But before they do, they want to eliminate as many potential scientists who can fight back and create these the ability to just resist whatever they're going to do. And I think they want to eliminate these people.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Are you still practicing your trade of microbiology?
I got out of the pharmaceutical industry. People like Len Horowitz and a lot of other people convinced me that it's really an industry that's hurting people more and more and helping people less every day. I'm trying to get more into the health, you know, natural oils.
Good for you.
Natural methods. And I'm also just basically switching gears totally into engineering.
All right, have you talked to any of your friends in the field who are reacting to these microbiologists that are dying?
You know, I don't think the story is getting out as well as it should be. A lot of my doctor MD friends, they don't even know that this is going on.
No, I'm telling you, mainstream has not picked this story up. I don't understand it. They just, it's like they're afraid to touch it.
I don't know what to say. All I can say is, if you see a bacteria released into the public, it's for money, because I think bacteria can be easily cured, you know, with something or vaccinated against, and therefore, that's where the money comes in with these corporations. If it's a virus that's released, it's going to kill a lot of people.
Well, I always used to say, and thanks for the call, whenever something happens, the first thing you have to do is ask yourself, who benefits? And then you just take it back. And I have done that with everything, honestly. And I'm sure there are some times that things just happen because they happen, right? But by and large, just track things back, and then you find out who benefits. The chances are you'll find out what happened. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George? Thank you for
taking
my call.
Sure thing.
My name's Rick from Sacramento. I was thinking about that submarine situation that was announced. It's such a major incident that, you know, the government can't cover it up. And typical of our U.S. government is we cover everything up. You know, all they do is lie to us left and right. But if you consider a 6,000-ton displacement submarine moving at 40 knots underwater and impacting a solid mass of Earth, the submarine would crush at the depth it was at. It hit another object, but it was not a mountain. It hit either another submarine, a Chinese submarine. It's operating out of, 350 miles south of Guam. That puts it in the sphere of Chinese operations. Or it hit some other object, so to speak, that they're not talking about. Maybe there's something going on extraterrestrially wise.
Well, you know, what you raised, though, is something that I thought of, because 40 knots smashing into something of that kind of significance and size should have demolished or at least torn apart the front, or the portion of it. I think it got hit where? In the bow?
In the bow. Yeah. And just like the report says, is half the crew was injured, so they were thrown. So it, just like in an automobile accident, unless you hit a solid concrete wall and you bounce back, but if you hit another car, the momentum of the vehicle continues and the passengers are thrown about.
Yes, that's true. Violently, too.
It violently, and that's what happened with half that crew.
Well, I'll tell you, it is. You may be right. You may be onto something, that it hit something other than a mound or a huge rock, because, yeah, it should not have surfaced, I'll tell you. Let's move on to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning.
Yeah.
George, I'm talking about John Nieder. I'd never heard of the guy until last week when you weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
I do paranormal investigations a lot. And about a year ago, I started messing around with a Doppler stethoscope they use in the hospitals. What a Doppler stethoscope does, basically, you can hear energy a lot. Now, about a year ago, mind you, never heard of hearing the guy, you actually pick up signals. I started hearing from a John Nieder on this thing.
Okay, now this one's name is Titor, T-I-T-O-R.
Right, sorry, Titor. I'm driving, I'm kind of like...
Okay, all right, okay, I want to make sure we're talking about the
right,
same person.
Titor, right.
All right.
And, sorry about that. And this was about a year ago, and I have no idea. I was listening to this thing off and on. I can catch it once in a while. I used a couple of pieces of equipment also to amplify the sounds. And at first, I thought it was just, I was picking up some kind of radio or some kind of transmission that, was this very high or low frequency. And he was talking about Civil War and the Civil War of the United States. I figured, okay, well, maybe it's Civil War years ago.
And he has written about that when he was writing and posting on the Internet several years ago.
Well, that's what I heard on your, when you weren't here last week. I heard about that. What he's gathering is that he is transmitting... From 2013, which is, the year 2013, which is like, a few years from now, and he's in Appomattox, not Appomattox back then, Appomattox now in Virginia. And I guess he was transmitting backwards also, but he's also transmitting a radio broadcast about the Civil War that's going on now.
Now, you don't
happen... really bizarre.
Do you have him on tape by any chance?
I have not yet. I haven't figured out how to get the tape to work on the Doppler yet. What Doppler does, basically, they use to hear blood flow in a body. And if you take a Doppler stethoscope from a hospital and walk around anywhere, you can hear energy. It picks up an energy frequency.
And what you say is you're picking up somehow John Teeter talking about Civil War in this country, which is what he predicted when he was posting on the Internet. But somehow you're picking him up.
Right. Exactly. And amongst other things, you can also hear different voices. And this Doppler will not pick up a voice or a radio signal from this era. Okay, you cannot, walk outside and hear radio. And I've been experimenting with this for a year, using different electronic equipment, and putting things together so I actually amplify the sound more. And what he's getting at right now is that, and what he's talking about, and I wrote this down about 2 or 3 months ago, right now in 2004, there are cells, not from Iran or Iraq, but cells from the United States in Canada and Mexico and also in New Zealand that are starting to transmit signals, radio signals, to get people to actually become separate from the United States. This does happen, he says, in about 2012.
And you, and up until you hearing the program last week,
I didn't know who he was.
You didn't
I
know
had
who
no
he,
idea.
You just thought he was some guy that you were picking up somehow.
Right, and I have no idea. I heard about the guy. I said, "Wow!" I said, "That's." And I tried calling you, but you weren't there. Yeah, I listen to you every morning, and I've been listening to Art for many, many years, and I listened to what you're talking about. And I heard the man's name. Well, that's the same guy I've been listening to.
You have,
and I can only pick him up maybe once or twice a month. And it's very faint, so I'm trying to amplify what he's talking about, and I figure maybe it was something like a very low frequency radio signal, but it's impossible. You can't hear an actual voice on this equipment.
All right.
It's used basically for energy.
That's why you can't record him then, Forrest, because I would love to be able to play on this program the voice of time traveler John Teeter. I'll be back in a moment. Our guest will be Major Paul Smith, reading the enemy's mind. Inside Stargate, we're going to talk about the CIA's plan to really remote view enemy targets. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with StreamLink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.